This week, Irene Nikolaya of Tanana, David Grant of Bellevue, Washington, and Potlatch Goes to a Potlatch.
Potlatch, a program about Alaska Natives for Alaska Natives.
On March 22nd, the Fairbanks Native Association held its annual potlatch. Here are some of the sounds of that potlatch. First, the Association of Interior Eskimos.
We're happy to be here again in this 1975. And then we're going to try our best again, not like we've been doing last winter. The first song that we're going to sing, the title is A Lullaby Song. It's going to be done by my wife, Edith Tigusel, and I don't know which one, though. Anyway, the story is like this. Let me tell you the story on this song, first thing. An old lady always wanted to go out and search for lobsters and crabs, what she likes most important to her. One morning, she left her home. And then on her way in to the place where she usually gets the crabs and lobsters, she heard some kind of a noise. She just couldn't place it where that noise came from. She looked around, all around, but when she looked back, she saw a little basket floating close by. She went back, she waited out, I don't know for how deep it is, and bring the box, the basket in to shore. When she opened it, she found a little infant inside the basket. She began to nurse her. Was a small girl. So it's a lullaby song.
Yeah.
self-determination for Native Americans. That phrase usually refers to administrative procedures, but rarely to individuals' attitudes toward themselves. The director of Indian Is seminars in Washington State, David Grant, came to the Tanana Chiefs Conference in Fairbanks. He told delegates that Native Americans can make of themselves whatever they will themselves to be. After the speech, Jeff Richardson of Tundra Times and I interviewed Grant.
I'm here in response to an invitation to the Tanana Chiefs Conference, and I'd like to say that I accepted because I've really been excited about being up here, and I think that it's a really crucial time for Alaskan Natives, and I'd like to be a part of it. This is my first time in Alaska. The other Alaskan Natives that I've met have been from urban areas. I'd like to say in regard to the people that I've met, and that I'm really impressed. I think that they're just, and I'm impressed with Indian people all over the country. There's some really powerful leadership surfacing, and people who are, and we're just beginning to understand what's gone on in the past, and that conditioning process, how we've been. It isn't that we haven't been okay for the last 25, 30, 50, 100 years. It's that we've been conditioned to think that we're not okay. And we're really taking, Indian people all over the country are realizing that we are, you know, that we always have been okay. The entire situation up here is typical of I don't see it as being so much different, but as being very similar to the challenges that Native peoples are facing all over this continent. The one thing that I get from it here, and maybe here more than other places, is the conflict that it demonstrates. The ecological impact that it's going to have, the impact, and thus the impact that it's going to have on the traditional way versus the acquisition of material things and the more economical way of survival. I think that for its magnitude, for the size of the pipeline, that's what makes it seem so definite, as opposed to I don't know, it's the situation with tankers in the waters off the coast of coastal tribes in Washington is very similar, but the pipeline is just a lot bigger issue.
I asked Grant to compare the situations of Alaska Natives with Native Americans of other states.
This is my first visit up here, but one of the really significant differences that I see is the overnight development of tremendous responsibility, and the overnight development of tremendous budgets, and the responsibility that comes with working with a lot of money and learning to develop economically. I think too that I'm kind of reminded of the Southwest by being up here, because I can sense that tradition is not so far off, or that it's not so far removed from where we're sitting right here. I think that I sense, and I've been told that there's a lot of conflict in relationship to tradition, the traditional way versus progress and the new way. I can really feel that here.
Grant told me what he does as director of the Indian Is seminars.
First of all, I work out of Bellevue, and I teach a leadership seminar nationally. The seminar is, I call it Indian Is, .. three dots after it. And my concern is, as I move out into Indian communities, is to really get people to take a look at themselves. Get people say, what's the challenge with life today? I really believe that it's knowing yourself and knowing how you grow and what helps you to grow and what hinders you. And the seminar that I teach is I teach different seminars from 1 to 3 days, and just really get people to take a look at conditioning, for one thing. That, as I said in a, as I said in my talk, that there's that we're not born with these feelings. That we're not born with a, an inferiority complex or a superiority conflict or a complex or anything else. That we're conditioned based on through information and through example that's set for us. Everything that we believe, our reality is developed after we're born. And I challenge Indian people all over the country to let's take a look at who have we been listening to, what have our experts been telling us, what kind of a reality are we carrying in our minds based on other people's opinions. And I don't think I think that a lot of people do that, tell us that, well, we're not in as good a shape as we can be, but nobody takes that additional step and tells us how to change, how to undo that conditioning, and that's something that we can't do. But the seminar that I teach is geared to helping people, allowing people to do what they want with their lives, and that means seeing things differently. I think that our challenge today, and it's not just with Indian people, but it's all over the world, is to realize that I don't have to be what I am, or you know, that when I'm small, sometimes I get given some information that may not be so, and just because everybody treats me like hell doesn't mean I'm not worth anything. And I don't tell people that they're okay now. I say, take a look now at what you are and what you believe to be true about you and about the world, and then you make a decision, you know, as to whether or not you want to continue to accept that kind of information. If continue to be who you are, and if not, let's take a look at that process that has gotten us to feeling and to thinking and to being what we are now, and use it to be something else if we choose to. And there's some very definite, very practical steps and information or tools that people can use to do that. For example, being damn careful about what you accept to be true about you, beginning today. Being a selective listener, and if you don't want to be it, you know, just because some coach tells you that you're a sissy, or because some educator tells you that you're stupid, or that there's some things that are not open to you, or because the media says that you're not worth a damn. The only time that it has any effect is when you accept it and say, yeah, that those sources are the experts and that must be so. And I get people to take a look at that. Don't accept it if you don't want to be it. And like I said, I teach a 3-day seminar, and there's lots and lots and lots of information about just specific, very practical ways to start being and feeling and living the kind of life that you want to live. If I were to live my life in accord with statistics, in accord with what professional people say I should be doing and how I should be feeling, I'd be in the state penitentiary in Walla Walla, Washington, doing time based on what other people have expected of me all my life.
I ask Grant if differences among peoples because of race and cultures are real and valid differences.
I think that they're, for me, they're real. I think that being Indian is it's a different. I think that it's a different experience. It's certainly a different. It's certainly different than being European in terms of concept, in terms of thought, in terms of values. I think that Indian is I think that it's a way of life. I think that it's a value system. I think that it's just a different reality.
We'll hear music from the Nenana dancers at the Fairbanks Potlatch after this message.
Over the river and through the woods is a much faster trip these days, for snowmobiles anyway. But last year, more than 19,000 people required emergency room treatment for snowmobile-related injuries. The Consumer Product Safety Commission, therefore, has this advice. Become familiar with the snowmobile before driving. Know how to operate all controls and check them regularly. Always wear goggles, chin-strapped helmets, and warm protective clothing. Know and observe all traffic laws. Don't speed. Apply your brakes slowly and evenly, just as in a car on snow-covered roads. Be extra cautious at night. Drive on established trails. Beware of hills, rocks, fences, and especially barbed wire. Never drink before or while driving. Use extra care when carrying a passenger. Use the buddy system so you can help each other in case of a breakdown or an accident. For more tips, get a copy of Snowmobiles. It's free from Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
Thanks to the Nenana Dancers for the performance at the Potlatch and for permission to air it on radio stations throughout Alaska, including KLAM in Cordova. Speaking of potlatches, here now the Tanacross Dancers from the Fairbanks Potlatch.
Yeah. So your sweet, happy-go-lucky child has suddenly turned into a moody, disagreeable refrigerator raider. Chances are your son or daughter is no longer a child, but an adolescent. According to a National Institute of Mental Health booklet, the transition from childhood to maturity is particularly difficult today because of the rapid social changes. But the family members can help adolescents through many problems they may face. During this period, when his or her emotional and physical characteristics are changing, the adolescent needs to give and receive affection, feel needed as well as wanted, be free from domination, and receive firm but flexible discipline. To help your adolescent, take his or her problems seriously and talk them over. Discuss what kind of behavior you expect and why. When your teenager does something you don't approve of, say so, but in a calm and loving way. For your copy of The Facts About Adolescence, send 30 cents to Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
Anne Nikolai from Atwaltluk and Irene Nikolaya from Tanana have several things in common besides similar last names. Both attended the FNA potlatch and had this conversation during the festivities.
Irene, where are you from?
Tanana.
Were you in high school before? Or?
Yeah, I just got out of school last Thursday, and then I just go back to Tanana for graduation in May.
Where high school did you go?
To Tanana High School in Tanana, Alaska, down on the Yukon.
I heard that you participated in the beauty contest.
Yes, I did, in the Eskimo Olympics, Eskimo Indian Olympics, in July, late July, and I was second runner-up. Which is okay for me.
What are you going to do this fall? Are you going to go to school or just stay at Tanana?
Well, I applied to SJ, Sheldon Jackson in Sitka, and I haven't had an answer from him yet. It was just about a week ago that I sent the application in.
If you don't go to SJ, are you going to attend university here in Fairbanks?
It depends on what I major in. If I find what I want to major in, right now I'm just going to major in general education. So I'm not sure if I'll come back to the U of A. I attended U of A this summer in an upper bound program, which I enjoyed. But I don't know if I'll be coming back to the U of A, but probably I probably will come back to the U of A because it's closer to my home and it's in Alaska and it's just closer, you know, to what I was born in.
At some time in your life, you'll probably have to decide whether to rent or to buy your home, apartment, or other shelter. This is the most important financial decision many people make in their lifetime, and a very complex one it is. It depends upon how you feel about home ownership, the costs involved in renting versus buying a home, and finally the investment benefits that may accrue from building equity in a home or from a savings and investment plan while you rent. If you're faced with this decision, the Department of Labor wants you to know that help is available in a new booklet, Rent or Buy. This 31-page publication gives step-by-step instructions for estimating how much you can afford to pay for shelter and how to get the best return for the money you have available. Of course, no one can help you decide whether or not you really like raking leaves in the fall or how much you value friendly neighbors. But if you'd like to figure out the financial costs and benefits of renting versus owning your home or other shelter, send for Rent or Buy. It's 80 cents from Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
During the FNA potlatch, some non-Alaskan dancing. Here are the Navajo dancers from New Mexico.
Yo, 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 yo
Potlatch, produced in the studios of KUAC in College in cooperation with KTOO Juneau, KOTZ Kotzebue, and KYUK Bethel, under Title I of the Higher Education Act.